96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Is it time to make major changes to America's child welfare system? There are tens of thousands of children in group homes all over the country. Do all of them need to be there, or is there a better place for them? Well, a new report by the Annie E. Casey Foundation has a lot to say about this issue. Joining me to talk about this, Rob Gein. He is Director of Policy Reform and Advocacy for the Annie E. Casey Foundation. And Lisa Emmy, she is Program Director for Child Welfare at Family Matters of Greater Washington. If you have any comments or questions about the child welfare system, foster care, what happens to the children that it seems that no one wants? What do we do with them? How do we improve their quality of life? Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Lisa, Rob, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold.
Rob, kind of give me a short synopsis of this report. What does it say, and why is it so critical? Some would, you know, argue a groundbreaking report on child welfare.
So we're hoping that this report is a wake-up call for all of those who are concerned about our most vulnerable youth. We know that children do best in families. It's what you would want for your kids. It's what your listeners want for their children. But it's also now supported by lots of rigorous research. The research shows that when children are in foster care and placed with families instead of group homes, they have better educational outcomes. They're more likely to be employed. They're more likely to succeed in families later on in life. But as you said in your introduction, there are 57,000 children, one in three teens, placed in a group home instead. And new research is showing that a large number of them, upwards of 40 or more percent, are in these group homes for no clinical reason. Families are the best place for them, but that's not where they are.
What is a group home for those who are not familiar with that?
So a group home is any place other than a family. I think if you think about what you would do with your own children, apply the My Child test. The first place you would put your child if for some reason you couldn't take care of them is with someone you already knew, a family member, an aunt, an uncle, someone who the child had a bond with. If that's not possible, we want them with another family, a loving home where they can be cared for. Anything else is a group setting where they're living with other young people, often with shift care workers, who can't develop the bond and provide the level of security and love that families can.
Lisa, where do these children come from? Who are they?
Well, thank you for your question, and thank you to Annie Casey for this research, which I think speaks to what any of us working in child welfare would agree, that every child deserves and needs a family. I think that some of the challenges that bring different youth into group home settings are different nationally. They're different in every jurisdiction, they're different in every city, and they're different in every agency. What we see at Family Matters, you know, if we're making any kind of a recommendation for a group home, it's really because we're seeing some clinical presentation that is necessitating a short stay.
What does that mean? I love $20 words. I do not know what you just said. Where do these children come from?
These children come from your community. They come from everyone's community. They come from our community. These are children who have been removed from their own biological families due to neglect and abuse. Some of these children are children who have experienced multiple disruptions in other family settings, sometimes with kin, sometimes with other supports that they identified in their life, sometimes in other foster families, and are presenting with some behaviors that parents are having a hard time managing within a home setting.
But are these behaviors always the issue of the children? Is it quite possible that, as you suggested, that some of these children have been removed from the home through no fault of their own?
Absolutely. When a child is removed, it's not their fault, and we shouldn't punish them for the circumstances they were in. So to provide more of a color commentary on who these children are, they're largely brown and black children. They're largely children from poor neighborhoods. Most of them are coming in for neglect, not abuse. And so they've been traumatized. They've been traumatized because they have suffered neglect. They've been traumatized because they've been removed from a parent's home. But the medicine they need is a family. It's not a residential setting or a group home.
But where would they go if, for example, their first family, perhaps their biological family, is unavailable because of trauma in the home?
So in every family tree, there are branches that are very strong. There may be one branch that needs to be cut off, but other branches are growing vibrantly, and there are other people to take those children.
Such as?
Such as grandparents, and as aunts and uncles, paternal relatives, coaches, church members. And if those are not available, there are volunteer foster parents throughout the city who have agreed to take kids. Mm-hmm. What they need is to be equipped to take care of kids who have suffered trauma. They need to be trauma-informed, and maybe that's a $20 word, but that just means they need to take care of a child who's going to have some acting out issues.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We're talking about reforms for the child welfare system. What happens, or what is the best option for children that are in group homes? Lisa, briefly tell me what your organization does as it relates to the children in question.
Sure. Well, Family Matters, we provide family-based foster care settings. So we provide family homes for both traditional and therapeutic, which may be your children who have a higher level of need behaviorally, mental health concerns,
special needs,
who are requiring a higher level of training from the parents that they're residing with. So we are definitely in the family-based business. And we are currently and always actively looking for additional homes in the D.C. area that are willing and able and ready to become a resource for these teens that we are seeing in the system.
So you train prospective foster families.
Absolutely.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about that as well, because I think that really is a critical piece to this issue. Certainly, we know that there are lots of foster families out there that are certainly giving of their time and their homes, and yet, because of this kind of situation, there aren't enough. I want to take a quick break, but when we come back, if you are a foster parent, or if you were interested in becoming a foster parent, this could be one of the pieces to this very complicated puzzle as it relates to the child welfare system. So give us a call. Love to hear from you at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing America's child welfare system and a new report by the Annie E. Casey Foundation. My guests are Rob Gein, Director of Policy Reform and Advocacy for the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and Lisa Emmy. She is Program Director for Child Welfare at Family Matters of Greater Washington. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Shay, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I've actually been a foster parent in a foster care system, actually here in the Baltimore area, so I can definitely understand what the kids are experiencing coming out of group homes. But also one of the challenges that foster parents typically encounter. We want to do a good job. We want to actually assimilate the kids into the family, you know, and make them feel wanted, make them feel loved, but we can't have a lot of obstacles.
Oh, my goodness. Shay, are you there? Shay, please give us a call back because we missed a very critical point that you were trying to make, and I want to make sure that we get to that. So please give us a call back, 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Jessica calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jessica, are you? Yes, go right ahead.
Hi. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, we recently were foster parents in the D.C. area as well. We actually became foster parents through, I had a relative who was in the system and has been bounced around from family member to family member because of behavioral issues. And that's how we became foster parents. And it took a minute for him to adjust to, like, our family setting for the prime reason that he wasn't used to having a family setting, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time he would do, and I think he was, like, acting out or doing things for attention. So every time he would do, you know, act out for attention, a family member would be like, you know what, I can't deal with it, he got to go.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of him jumping from home to home where he wasn't able to deal with the stability. So that's another issue that a lot of the kids face when foster parents can't deal with, especially if they have behavior issues, deal with their behaviors, you know, they just willingly give up. And
okay.
Then the kids have to deal with being replaced all over again.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for your input on that. That is a critical piece of information. Rob, real quick, two things. Give me paint a picture for me of what the Annie E. Casey Foundation is for those who aren't familiar. And you took issue with something that I said earlier, so please share.
Sure. So the Annie Casey Foundation is a private philanthropy that creates brighter future for our nation's children by developing solutions to strengthen families, build paths to economic opportunity, and transform struggling communities into safer and healthier places to live, work, and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I said it was impolite to disagree with the host.
Oh, I'm not hurt. Please go right ahead.
Right before the break, you had made the statement that we don't have enough foster families out there for these kids, and I believe we do. And I believe our report demonstrates that we do because it shows the wide variation in states' behavior as far as placing children in group homes.
But how do you know that you have enough if you are still looking for them?
We are constantly looking for them because, frankly, our best foster parents often adopt children who can't go home. And so we're constantly looking for new replacements. And people do get burned out after a while. But the key message comes to you, to Jessica's call, which is that these young people do present challenges. If we treat our foster parents right, if we give them the training they need, if we give them support, that's someone to call at 5:30 when the young person is acting out of his mind or acting like a typical teenager. If we give the therapy to the young person, they'll be in good shape.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. So if you're on the phone, Avis, Gloria, Lisa, please stay with us. I will take your call in just a bit. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.